What's up, everybody? You're listening to No Coast Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago. I am Tom Hush.
I'm Connor Cornelius. And, Tom, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. A little bit under the weather here, as you can tell from this really nasally voice I've got going on.
Yeah, but it's got a little bit of a gruff to it, which it sounds gravelly and,
good.
And sexy, frankly, Tom.
I actually signed up for that. You know those masterclass videos that you can sign up for? I did Clint Eastwood's voiceover.
Really?
Masterclass,
so
yeah.
So you always sound like you're just sort of baring your teeth at people.
Yeah, it requires that I smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Okay, well, you're already halfway there.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. I'm working up to it.
Yeah, it's a regimen.
I think it'll pay off in the end when I exclusively voice DreamWorks animation villains.
Well, I mean, there's a hot market for that, too. And, I mean, you have the dedication and the pipes to be able to do that, Tom. So I believe in you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, there we go. Wow, sneak preview, guys.
Yeah. For you. Dumb bits aside...
Hey, fuck you, man. I thought that was a dynamite bit.
All right, we'll put that in the pocket of great bits. We're so lucky to welcome back one of our favorite guests. He is one of the programmers at Comfort Film, and he also works with Full Spectrum Features. And he's you know what? I think the last three, four guests that we've had have name-dropped this man.
Yep.
Because he's just everywhere in Chicago cinema. Mr. Raul Benitez, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me again.
We're having you back here to talk a little bit about what's going to be coming up this season, sort of with Comfort Film. Now, you've already had a few events already at Comfort
Film.
Yeah,
we basically started like the second to the last week of March.
Wow. And you're just in it now.
Yeah, we're in it now, full force.
And it's going to be going on all through this summer, a bit into the fall, right?
Yeah, so we're pretty much programmed till November, and then June we take a day off because we have a special programming month at Comfort Station called the Power Project.
Okay.
Where we bring in special programmers and curators for that month, and they pick 4 of them, and they each do a week. So we'll be taking a break in June.
Okay. Because you do take breaks. I mean, this is every Wednesday typically.
Yeah. So it's every Wednesday, and the other break we take is January to April. We take like 3 months off,
right?
Just so you know, because it's winter, nobody wants to do anything.
It's freezing.
And so in the studio right now we have Raul Benitez, but you are saying we a lot. So I know we've had your other coworker on as well before, Nando Espinosa. Who else do you work with?
Yeah, so we have this? 2 assistants that work, have been with us since last year, and that's Emily Perez and Matthew Tapney. And they basically help us program and do a lot of the setup at screenings, stuff like that. And actually, Emily, she does the blog on our website, at the Comfort Station website, where she interviews who we're going to have the week before or or in following week. So she does that for us. So that's something that we've been wanting to do, is like kind of give visitors to our site like more information about upcoming screenings, and talk about the people who were showing that week or the next week after, whatever.
Yeah. So for folks who have not yet heard of Comfort Station and Comfort Film, give us a little bit of a overview of what Comfort Film is and what kind of the goal is.
Yeah, so Comfort Film is a program under Comfort Station. The Comfort Station, we are a nonprofit, and we're based at the Comfort Station, which is the name of our building, in the middle of Logan Square on Milwaukee. It's 2579 North Milwaukee. And outside of the film, there's 2 other like core projects that we do there, and that's art and music and film. And film is on Wednesdays, and then we have music on Thursdays, and then we have a monthly art show for the month. And then we do a whole other bunch of other stuff.
I mean, you guys are constantly busy.
Yeah, we've gotten more stuff, and busier throughout the years. And like last year was probably our busiest year. I think we had over 200 and something events.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for our volunteer staff,
that's baffling.
And actually, it's funny because we've talked to other places, like our director Jordan Martin's talked to other places, and they're amazed how much stuff we get in for being an all-volunteer force. you know, like even real galleries with real people that are getting paid don't even have that many events.
In addition to Raul, we are also joined by Emily Perez. She is an assistant programmer over at Comfort Film. So nice to have you on the show. First time here.
Yeah, it's my first time.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about what you do over at Comfort Film. I know Raul talked a little bit about it, but doing interviews and stuff with the filmmakers and other things like that.
Yeah, so I've been at Comfort for just about a year now. And filling the assistant programming position when they put out a post on Instagram that was like, we're looking for an assistant programmer. And I had recently finished up an internship at Facets, and I'd always liked Comfort as a space, as a really unique art space, and wanted to be a part of that. And then just stuck around and continued to program. And it's been really insightful to see both to get in contact with all these local filmmakers and, you know, see the actual function of the process of putting together these things. And it's been really interesting too, kind of part of what I've been wanting to do this year, and I've done a couple of them, is interview the people putting together these programs, especially because we've had this guest curation series going on. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of these people come in with programs they've specifically put together, and talking to them about the concepts they've put together and why they put these films in the order they put them in, because curation really is an art of its own. And when you get to talk to people, you get to learn why, not why they're interested in a subject, not only that, but also why they're assembling something the way they're assembling it. Okay. And so I've been able to have some pretty great conversations in that regard.
And so I think that would be a good transition to maybe talk about some of the May programming that you guys have been doing, because you're listening. This is May 14th, Monday, is when we release our episodes. We are recording it on a Saturday, but the first Comfort Film May program is going to be on May 16th. And then, you know, Raul and Emily, I guess we give you guys the floor to discuss it a little bit.
First of all, I want to say that Emily's done a great job with the interviews.
Nice.
On our site. So you can read those at conversationloganquare.org. And that's something, like I said before, I've been wanting to do a while, is like get more insight about what we're doing. So Emily's doing a great job for those. But for May programming, next Wednesday, May 16th, we are going to have Zach Piper as part of our guest curator series. He's producer behind the Gene Siskel, but the Roger Ebert documentary.
Life Itself?
Life Itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
So he's worked at Cartemquin, and so he's going to put a program together for us. One of the films is Inquiring Nuns, which is about two nuns. They follow around these two nuns who are just asking people if they are happy. Mm-hmm. And they get like all kinds of responses with that question. And then we'll be showing a short documentary about Mike Royko,
legendary Chicago writer,
right? And a lot of footage is of them at the Billy Goat, which is literally right underneath us.
yeah.
And like the softball team that they're in. Uh-huh. Back in the day when like all the reporters used to hang out at the Billy Goat. Now it's like mostly tourists, I think.
Yeah,
and us.
Yeah,
from time to time.
From time to time.
I haven't been there in a while, so. But
have y'all seen Inquiring Nuns?
No,
not no.
It's actually a super interesting kind of piece of Chicago history too, because it's, you know, Chicago. I'm trying to remember if it's like the late '60s and '70s, but it's a bunch of these. It's these two nuns going around and asking people in different parts of the city, "Are you happy?" And that's the entire premise of it. And it's a really fascinating kind of look at both how people respond to nuns in full habits and also a bit of, you know, what Chicago looked like then and what people were like in the
It'll city. Be interesting to see how your audience reacts to the answers, because it sounds like a premise that's pretty timeless.
Yeah, are you happy?
Sounds like it'll age perfectly.
Yeah. So we're excited to be showing those, and Zach's bringing those to us. And then the 23rd, we are teaming up with the Chicago Latino Film Festival and their programmer, Maria Lopez. So we'll be showing two documentaries that night. The Joy of Sound, a 2016 film?
Yep.
And then the other movie is Palenque, about a town, like one of the first towns of Colombia to become liberated from European, you know, domination, I guess, or conquest, if you want to say. So that is that's the 23rd, and then everybody's favorite series, Released in Abandoned, Forgotten Oddities of the Home Video Era, with Paul Fertag Fay. The first night of the series, we're just going to be showing a bunch of trailers that he's found that only played on VHS tapes and nowhere else, because they made special trailers for VHS tapes, and so he's going to be showing a bunch of those on May 30th. So those should be fun, and we have, you know, the programming for that series the rest of the year is really great.
Now, do you know his process about how is he getting all these VHS trailers? Does he just have them?
I have no idea. I just tell Paul, like, you know, he's done great curation in the past, so I just let him have free reign, do whatever he wants. As you guys went to some of the screenings last year,
yep. Right?
And there's just some stuff that I never seen or heard of.
So, yeah,
and he finds them somehow.
And Paul is from Daily Grindhouse,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, he writes reviews for Daily Grindhouse. I think he had an interesting series where he covered these like made-for-TV specials with like the Paul Lynn like Halloween special or something.
Yeah.
He reviewed. Like, he reviews weird stuff like that. That's his thing. And so we're excited to have him again this year because he's got a lot of great movies coming up.
If he brings anything like what Tom and I saw, Project Nightmare, over last summer, then we're in.
Yeah, he's got, like, I'll tell you real quick some of the titles. Like, July 25th, we're showing a movie called Acting on Impulse. Ooh. About an actress. It's an erotic thriller.
I do love those.
Yeah, and then on August 29th, Beyond the Seventh Door. And then that's a 1987 film. And then the 26th, we're showing a movie called The Upstairs Neighbor.
Now, there was a little bit of a time jump there. You guys are taking some breaks.
Yeah, because June will be taking a break because there's special programming at Comfort Station.
Right.
Which is called The Power Project, where they invite curators for that month, guest curators. So we take a break in June, and then we start up again in July.
I'm curious, how do you guys choose the curators that come in and program all these nights? I mean, do you just reach out to people that have made films in the past, or, you know, film writers? Where do you get the group from?
Yeah, so the guest curator series, we just reached out to a bunch of curators and asked them if they wanted to do it. Almost everybody that I asked said yes right away. So, and, you know, each one, and I wanted to focus more on independent programmers and not ones that are already established. We had Yatasha Womack, who's writer, Afrofuturism writer. I don't know if you've heard of her. She did something for us. Emily Hutchings from Hume, which is a small space in Wicker Park. I think they're still in Logan Square because they're on Armitage.
Right.
Okay. So they, you know, I wanted to like focus on them, smaller programmers from smaller spaces.
And Hiromi as well.
And Hiromi, who did Black Is Black Ain't, which was the Harold Riggins film. That was last week. Mm-hmm. So she programs in smaller spaces too, so we wanted to kind of feature them with this series. So that's pretty as far as that series is concerned. That's pretty much how we went about it. I just asked them. Like, I saw that they were doing interesting stuff, and I asked them if they wanted to do something. And then the rest of the time is people that email us, or I see somebody at another event. They're like, "Can I do something there?"
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of the programming happens that way.
And I see that coming up in July, you have this film meets music series. It's your silent films and loud music series. And that is it seems to be a staple of what you guys do. And it, even better that it's going to be happening in the summer where it's going to be nice out. But having a film event where there is also going to be live music being played is just sort of what Tom and I have seen sort of a staple in the independent film community, because you need to have aspects of your event that sort of go beyond the normal cinema-going experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so what got you guys into picking the bands that you did? Or was it just them reaching out to you? Or did you guys hand curate that yourselves? Or
yeah, we curate that ourselves. I don't know. I'm not as involved in the music scene as like my co-programmer Nando or Emily is. Mm-hmm. So they've actually found two of the bands. They're actually all three of the bands for the 3 weeks. Which one did you?
The Blood Sisters.
Nice.
We're going to be doing a silent film called The Phantom Carriage, which is like a 1921 Swedish film.
Yeah, it's a Swedish film. It's like my notes here is like, I call it It's a Wonderful Life, the Swedish version of It's a Wonderful Life, because like a ghost visits a guy and he kind of like goes on its carriage and kind of like relives his life.
Okay.
It's weird, but it's but it's funny because a lot of these bands play like the most dark film, like they pick, cuz we give them a list of films to pick that they think would go with their music, and they always pick like the darkest film possible. Which is, I think, it's interesting.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I was gonna. Yeah, sorry, I was gonna ask what kind of music the Blood Sisters like. What are we looking forward to?
Yeah,
here?
The Blood Sisters. They do experimental synth music.
Okay.
And then that was their pick, and so, you know, it's about kind of finding bands that you think will be suited to this and that are gonna be excited about it. And,
right.
Yeah, and usually they pick something really appropriate. So like last year we had Dante's Inferno. We started with Dante's Inferno, and then we ended with Alice in Wonderland, and so everything kind of in between. It's Trip to the Moon, like Sommelier. So that one was Sommelier Films, and you know, getting to see all these different aspects of what that can be doing live music. We've had experimental music that doesn't have any vocals, and then we've had, you know, bands that do lyrics as well.
Yeah, before. We showed that Joan of Arc silent film last year, and the artist, he was like, can't recall his name now. Anyway, but he's like an opera-trained singer, and so he did like some operatic songs for Joan of Arc, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Usually we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Until that night, so because we give them free reign. So that was pretty amazing that
night. It was really amazing. It was a very intense way to experience that.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you guys have seen that Joan of Arc, the silent version, the French.
Mm-hmm. I've not.
It's like pretty amazing film.
Is it drier?
I can't remember.
I feel like I saw it by proxy. And by proxy, I mean I watched 500 Days of Summer, and I think there's a scene where they watch that, and like Zoe Deschanel is just in tears, like she's so overwhelmed by it. And there's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, what the fuck is this? So it made me want to see it because I was like, forget you, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I want to feel something. It looks like, you know,
whoa,
it looks like my kind of movie. Yeah. Oh, I'm saying it.
It's a good take.
Yeah, the other two bands is Side Hug and. And I can't even pronounce the other band. MK.
Makat.
Yeah.
Makat Paul Thomas.
Okay. Yeah. As good as you.
Must
be. I have no idea. But they haven't picked their movies yet. But so we're still waiting on them. But that'll be 3 weeks in July for sure. And then we'll have Paul's other film at the end of July.
All right. Something to touch on is that the fact that all these screenings are free.
Yes.
Correct? And I wanted to get both your thoughts on this. Why is it important that we have free cinema? Because a lot of people, when they think of going to the movies, it's like, I'm gonna shell out like $30 just to go see a movie and maybe get a popcorn and a drink, and it's this kind of really big businessy capitalist sort of thing. Whereas we have, you know, a lot of different series, comfort film included, where it's very important that these things are free, open to the public, anybody can experience this. Why do we need that? Why do we need to have free cinema for people?
Well, I could say I work in a movie theater. I also spent time in film school. And so you kind of see the changing state of movies. Movies used to be the inexpensive thing you can do on the weekends. You know, you don't want to spend money going out. You go to a movie and buy popcorn. It's a very, very different landscape now, what the movies look like and what your options are, too, in what you see and what you can do. Yeah, now to go to a movie, it is an event and it is a big expenditure of money. And also it's been a thing with me talking to people, and it's also apparent when you are studying film, I guess, to what the industry looks like. And here in Chicago, we have this big disparity between working in the industry and then, you know, working independently. And there's not a lot of, and this is true of the film industry in a lot of places too, because you have mega budgets and then you have independent budgets, which are rapidly shrinking. We no longer have the $1 million movie, mm-hmm. right? So having like, you know, that kind of middle ground. So what we need to do is be able to foster a place where this independent scene can thrive, because as is apparent, there are tons of people making stuff and wanting to share that. And we've been having these guest curators, and what's interesting too is they're guest curators from all different parts of the city. For example, Hiromi programs at the Learning Center, which is in Bridgeport, or the Learning Machine, I'm sorry. We also have people, you know, programming in Hume. And so, like, these different places across the city, like, this is happening all across Chicago. And to make it free and accessible to people is a big deal, because it means that it's an invitation to openly take part in this art. And it's really good to have these places where it's not, you know, $10. Like, it's so much more inviting to, you know, be walking down the street and see something, you know, oh, it's free, and then, okay, maybe that interests me. And you get to, I think also one of the important things about Comfort is we're providing this free environment, and that free environment fosters a lot of different types of film. So we had, for example, we've had more academic things. We had the Andre Bazin.
Bazin.
Okay. I've tried to learn how to pronounce it. I know it's French. I don't speak French. But yeah, we had that night. We had a screening of a Fellini film, and then we had readings of Andre Bazin, the famous film critic's work. Following that, and then we also get to have Released and Abandoned, the truly weird VHS tapes, and so to have both of those things be available and free really opens up the world of film to make it not be just one or the other.
Right, it doesn't need to be Criterion Collection or Scream Factory.
Yeah, you know, part of it too is like Conversations are open space. So we want to make the programming there open to broader public and not focus on, like, artsy things only and, like, artsy films or just documentaries or whatever. We want to come across the board so that's welcoming to people because, you know, as I said before, like, art spaces scare people. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be more open and welcoming. So that's why our film programming is very, like, broad.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Connor, you can attest to that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the exhibition of art so that people can experience it in a group setting is super important, and cinema being an art where, like, visuals collide with sound and emotion and all of that on a screen where it's almost better to watch it with a big group of people, having a depth of experience there is super important. I mean, you have, like, the corporate side of it where you can go to an IMAX and see any Star Wars movie every weekend because they're coming out every 3 days now. Or you can go to some place like Comfort Film every Wednesday for the next 3 weeks in May and in July and see all of these things that have these experiences that you would otherwise never be able to have in a corporate place, like in a movie theater.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We're up against the clock here, so we're running out of time, but I just want to make sure everybody has all the information for Comfort Station and then Comfort Film. So Comfort Station is at 2579 North Milwaukee over in Logan Square. It's that
right across from the Logan Square.
Right. And it's that house that you've probably passed a million times and wondered, like, what's that doing there? And
Raul's in there programming with Emily, programming movies.
Yeah. Doing it all, music and everything. You can find their website over at comfortstationlogansquare.org. And I know Comfort Film, has its own social media. Where can people follow you?
Yeah,
on social
you could
media?
Just do a search for Comfort Film on Facebook, and then we also have an Instagram, which is Comfort Film. Actually, it's Comfort underscore Film. That's the two main social medias that we do, and also we have our own little section on the website.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, both of you, Raul Benitez and Emily Perez, both from Comfort Film. Guys, get on out there. If you go on their Facebook page, they've got all the events coming up, and you can plan ahead. Thank you both for so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. You've been listening to NoCo Cinema here on WGM Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago and all around the world. I am Tom Hush.
And I'm Connor Cornelius.
And coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about our time over at the Chicago Critics Film Festival, give a brief recap of what we saw. So stick around. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to NoCo Cinema here on WGN Plus. Tom Hush, Connor Cornelius.
Yeah, you get the fucking gist. We're on a rush here.
Okay, so really quickly, we need to talk about the Chicago Critics Film Festival, fantastic film festival that just happened this past week. So lucky to have Connor and I attend a few of the screenings, and we had a really great time, and we just wanted to touch on a few of the films that we saw. Connor, you have a really good story that you need to lead off with.
Okay, so I drove to the Music Box to go catch a film, Puzzle, by Mark Turtletaub, directed by Mark Turtletaub. Starring Kelly MacDonald, and you probably know Mark Turtletaub as a producer. He's produced Little Miss Sunshine, just to name one. Great movie, obviously, but this is one of his first films directing. And so I get there a little bit late. They say most of the, as I show them the press pass, they tell me that there are very few seats left. So I get in, and there are three seats in the very back row that are open. And so I sit down in one of them up against these nice elderly ladies who were very nice to give me their seat. And this man walks in, and he has a, you know, sort of scraggly gray hair. He looks sort of tired, and he tries to sit down in this far chair, finds out it's broken, so he has to sit down immediately next to me. And he gets up as soon as the movie starts, and I said, because there were some people that had come in and started standing, and so he stood up and was standing to leave, and I said, hey, like, you can take my seat if you want to, and we can give these seats to the other people. Like, I'm young, I have young legs, I can stand. And some people heard me and were laughing at that. And then this really nice old lady leaned into my ear and said, I think that's the director of the movie. You should be nice to him. And of course I was trying to be nice, but then, yeah, so I'm watching this movie. It's called Puzzle, about a housewife who realizes through the discovery of a hobby of puzzle building, puzzle solving, that her life has sort of been stifling her, and it's about her trip through ultimately finding empowerment by the end of the film. It was beautiful. Reminded me a lot of my mom emotionally. I really engaged with it, and Kelly MacDonald delivers an unbelievable performance, extremely emotional, and all in the face. It was beautiful. But as the lights come back on and the credits roll, this man who's been sitting next to me, sure enough, stands up and he goes and delivers his Q&A. And
it's Mark Turtletaub.
It's Mark fucking Turtletaub. So I had been, because I was a little bit late to the screening, I actually got to sit next to one of Hollywood's most successful executive producers.
That is unbelievable. And Connor told me this over lunch the other day, and I was dumbstruck.
Yeah. And it was really nice. And it was actually cool because I didn't know that it was him at the time. But I was emotionally, this film emotionally resonated with me because I have a very close relationship with my mother and have seen her struggle to find empowerment, you know, after, because we've all grown up, all of her kids have grown up. And yeah. So she had to find another way to, you know, engage with life. And seeing that movie really reminded me of seeing my mom go through that. And then ultimately when my mom did find that, it was a beautiful movie.
Yeah,
and I had a nice conversation with Mark in the lounge at the Music Box afterwards.
And I think that's really the mark of something great, is that when you go to see a movie and it does resonate that well and it makes so much sense in a lot of ways. You know, I when you were telling me about this film, unfortunately I could not attend that screening, but just the raw amount of emotion that was just in your eyes and in your description and in the way that you were talking about this movie just sold me on it. I just have to see it when I get the chance, hopefully very, very soon. But that's the best part about going to film festivals, is that you just walk into something totally nonplussed about what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, who knows what it could be. You could totally hate it. You could totally love it. And you're just taking a risk on a piece of cinema and walking out with a new favorite thing, a new thing that you can truly love and truly attach yourself to.
Exactly. And now, Tom, you saw some pretty good stuff as well.
Yeah. If you guys, I'll plug the mini-sode. Did a quick little mini-sode on Monday covering the films Fast Color and also the Jurassic Park 25th anniversary screening, which if you haven't listened to, you can get my full thoughts there. I'm not going to go into it now because I think I said my piece about Fast Color, which was personally my favorite film of the festival, one that I really, really enjoyed, and also about getting to see Jurassic Park for the first time on the big screen, that is. Seen it many times elsewhere.
But what I think you should go into is you got to see Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade.
Yes. I will give a little time to a movie called Support the Girls, directed by Regina Hall. Or sorry, not directed by Regina Hall, but starring Regina Hall, who some of you may remember from being in the Scary Movie films. Like, I always kind of knew her as a comedian, and it was interesting to see her in this movie that basically follows a cast of women who work in a Hooters-style kind of like restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
And it was really, as someone who works industry on the side, you know, I'm in the service industry on the side. It was a fantastic look into what it's like in a way that's not overly comedic. Coming to mind, things like, have you ever seen the movie Waiting with Ryan Reynolds?
No, I haven't.
That's a little bit more like gross out kind of style comedy, a very male way of looking at the service industry, which there's nothing wrong with that inherently, but it lends itself to a certain perspective.
Right.
With Support the Girls, it was such a more honest and loving in a way, especially towards the relationships between the coworkers, while still being incredibly funny most of the time. I felt it was much more true to the experience of these kind of intense but fleeting relationships that you build when you work in the service industry. As people kind of come and go, you have to build this family very quickly and kind of understand them, and sometimes at the end of the day it's the only thing that is between you and a bunch of assholes, really.
Right.
And the way that they showed these girls as being exploited because they had no other choice. And it's, you know, all the problems in their life are mainly caused by men. And it's just too true. And, you know, you can call me whatever you want. You can call me, a feminist loser or whatever. But you know what? It's the fucking truth. Deal with it. I really don't know how else to put it, because especially in this type of restaurant, this is just what happens to women.
Right. Tom and I both have friends that work in the service industry, and we've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
So to see it not be played for the waiting experience or the service industry experience, not be played for gross out gags, and to have a little bit more of a realistic view, that sounds important.
Yeah. Fantastic range by Regina Hall as an actress. So quick. Eighth Grade. Oh, my God. So
Bo Burnham.
Bo Burnham, I will say this, there is a review embargo on this movie, so I am not going to review the movie itself. What I'm going to say is that Bo Burnham's Q&A was absolutely spectacular. He really covered a lot of the film's themes in terms of, like, performance online, what it's like to basically be a kid, an adolescent in this day and age. And he was so funny and so sincere, and he's such a smart guy that it's so exciting to see him take off, you know, in this way for this film. I'm going to put a disclaimer. This is not a review of the film, but when it's getting its wide release this summer, go see it. Go see it, because it deals with the subject of being an eighth grader in such a realistic and honest and yet funny way, almost like in a lot of ways like Support the Girls. It's a really just a really great drama that, despite being written and directed by a man, the lead character is a girl, and I think that only through whatever powers of empathy I possess, I was really able to feel like, wow, this is a really true experience. I think a lot of the audience saw that, watched that movie, and felt like, wow, this is a really true experience. It spoke to a lot of different facets. And despite Bo Burnham not growing up in this day and age, he clearly understands a lot about having to deal with social media and anxiety and tech anxiety and that kind of thing. So if you get a chance to go see Eighth Grade when it comes out, I definitely think you should. I think it would be worth your time to go see that movie. If you want to hear me talk more about it, you can go on WGNradio.com. I was on the very late show with Patty Vasquez talking a little bit about that, and I go into a little bit more depth about it. But obviously, we're a little bit out of time. But thank you so much for listening to this slightly abbreviated but altogether fantastic episode.
We love each and every one of you
equally. We love you so much. And thank you so much for following us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show on iTunes, but you can catch us every Monday on iTunes and also on WGNradio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. The Gram.
We're on Scram.
Love it. So please follow us there. We're going to be going to a lot more events and stuff like that. So if you want to see what the Chicago film scene looks like, if you can't make it out yourself, we want to see you at these events because I think this is the best way to engage with it. But you can live vicariously through our social media platforms because that is the language of the day. Thank you so much for listening. I am Tom Hush.
And I'm Connor Cornelius.
And we will see you next week.